My husband introduced me on Friday night. He pretty much shared what we are, what we do. But I wanted to help you guys to understand a little bit more of our journey and where we have been and where we are. He talked about how we really felt called to walk away from where we were fellowshipping in our community, in our church, to be able to go and do missional community. And one of the things that God called us in that was to reach the unchurched and the de-churched is what we really felt led to. Because there's so many that have either walked in a church and maybe they've been burned by it, they didn't understand it, and they feel like that wasn't for them. But Jesus is for everybody. And so we want to make sure that we have the opportunity to be Christ to everyone that we come in contact with so they get to have a true relationship, not a religion, as so many have walked into the church and walked out thinking that that's what they were going to receive. And so our missional community journey has been a huge growth for me personally also. And I just want to walk through that with you for you to get a glimpse how my life has transformed. So I was raised in the church. Tristan and Hannah, is it? Thank you last night for sharing. You guys did awesome. And I really appreciated, I see your little orange balls there. I really appreciated your guys' transparency in sharing where you've been. And so I was raised in the church. I've been a part of the church. We've been on staff. We've served in every different area. And something has happened to me, though, in a new way in regards to the gospel. I knew the gospel was the good news. In fact, if I'm not mistaken, the retreat, did it used to meet at the Good News Camp? Is it in Washington? No? No. Anyone familiar with that in Washington, Illinois? No? Anyways, okay. When I was younger, I was like, the Good News Camp, what does that really mean? Well, the good news is the gospel. But I have grown to have a different understanding. I always thought when I decided to follow God and I was in relationship with him that I had an understanding of the gospel, and now I needed to go and share it with everybody. I now have a different viewpoint of that. I understand the gospel, but I'm still learning about the gospel. I'm still discovering. And I not only need to be presenting the gospel to others around me, I need to be giving it to myself. And a new understanding each and speaking it and preaching it and sharing it, but I need to be telling myself each and every day. Because when life begins with Christ, as we just sang about, that's not the end all, is it? It is something for us to be able to walk daily, to know who we are and to know truly who Christ is and who we are in Christ, and that's what we get to talk about tonight. But some other things about the gospel is it's so simple, but yet I'm still striving to figure out what it truly means. Like, it is so complex in its simplicity that I haven't achieved it yet. Like, I'm trying so hard to get my hands and my mind and my thoughts wrapped around it, but it just gets more and more complex as I go. But yet it's the simplest message ever. Another thing is I'm understanding through the gospel that it's not me. So I know that we are to be going out and we're supposed to be sharing and preaching to others, but often I feel like I've put an expectation on myself that it was my responsibility to make sure that that person knew everything and that person was changed because of what I had said. I now have a better understanding through the gospel. It is nothing of my own, nothing. But it is the Holy Spirit that is dwelling in me that's going to speak life to whomever I'm sharing and talking to, whoever God has brought into my life. And it is the Holy Spirit that will speak to that individual that releases me of the responsibility of feeling obligated, because God is at work in that person's life. God is at work in my life. And it's his job. So I've gotten fired from the job of feeling like I have to make sure that this person knows and hears and has made a decision. And you know what? That's God's place. I'm just here to be used as a vessel. And so that's something that I'm really taking hold of. Another piece that I'm taking hold of is the gospel has made it so much clearer to me my sin, that I'm no different than anybody else. So part of our journey in being a part of the church for so long is most of my circles were with church people. They were like-minded people. I could talk about Jesus very easily with them. And when we removed ourselves from that environment, and now we're going out into our community, and we're meeting families on the baseball field on Sunday mornings, as Brad said, we would have been in the past probably judgmental of somebody. They're not choosing church, they're choosing baseball. Well, God has called us to go to the baseball field at this point. So we're meeting these families, and we're in these environments and these communities with all these sporting events. That's where God really is at work for us, in meeting families, and then also within our missional community and the high schoolers that come and things of that sort. But before, somehow I felt like I didn't know really always how to communicate with them. So I didn't know that we had that much in common, because if they didn't have Jesus, then I don't know what to talk about. And the gospel has made it very easy for me to be able to say, you know what? I'm absolutely no different than that person. But I have a hope to be able to share with people. And that hope is so incredible that I can stand before someone and I can talk about my failures, my issues. I can talk about the things that I'm really struggling with, because when I can do that, then I can show Christ that much more in my life. Because if I wasn't struggling, if I didn't have some kind of shame or issue that I'm walking out, what would my need for Christ be? And that brings opportunity for me to be able to say, this is where I'm at in life. This is my humanness. But I have to tell you, I have this incredible hope. And it's not a hope in an attitude. It is a hope in a person, and that is Christ. And then I'm able to share. So there's been this place for me that's really shifted my understanding to really focusing truly on the gospel and being able to really bring it to people that I would maybe not have ordinarily done. So I don't know where you are in your life and your walk and your journey. I don't know how much you understand the gospel. I'm still learning it. I'm still trying to get it. I know that it's simplistic, but I also know it's so much deeper than I can really even ever understand. And that's what's so exciting for me, because I just keep digging deeper and deeper, and I keep growing and learning and being able to receive more. And then one other thing I wanted to share, just in regards to our time and what's been taking place for us, we were able to see God moving through fruit, right? And, you know, how do we know what God's doing and stuff? Well, since we've started our missional community, we preach the gospel every Sunday. That's it. And do you know how we preach the gospel? It's through those four questions. That's the simplicity of it. And something really exciting for me as a mom is April 1st, my 13-year-old, well, he was 12 at the time, got baptized. He finally figured it out, yes, that he needed Christ to rule in his life and rule in his heart. He had already said, hey, I love you, Jesus, but it came to a time for him to say, you know what? It's time for me to really make that decision. Now, this is a kid who has struggled with fear. Danny, you were just talking about fear. He has a lot of fears in his life. He's hesitant in a lot of ways. And he said when the time came for baptism to happen, which was in the Gulf, we love that, it was so exciting, he said, I can release and I don't have to worry anymore. And I was like, you get it, yes, you get it. And then this summer, my 9-year-old went to a vacation Bible school, and she came home and she's just, you know, plinking at the piano, and she turns around and she goes, I'm ready to give my life to Jesus. I was like, okay. Wait, just one second, Daddy's not home, so let's get Daddy home, and let's make sure you truly understand, like, what does that mean to really give your life to Christ? What does that mean for you? And so we were able to walk through that, and she made that decision for Jesus. And then while we were on vacation this summer, we got to baptize her. So for me, Not only is my life transforming, when I sit daily and I remind myself, who is God? What has he done for me? Who am I, and what am I to do for him? It's changed my perspective. It's changed my life. And I've been walking the journey of being with Jesus for a while. And so we feel, both Brad and I, the message, it's so simple that we're here to share with you, but it's so impacting. It's impacted my life. So I wanted to just kind of give that little bit of information and just be a little vulnerable with you. So tonight we're going to be looking in two different scriptures mainly. I don't know if you have your Bible with you. I'd love for you to open up with me. Ephesians 2, 1 through 10. And I might have to do this. I'm getting to the point where I need to change my Bible here. It's a little extreme for my lack of sight here. But I just want us to go through the scriptures tonight to be able to see and be able to answer the question. So I would like it to be a little interactive, if you would be willing to do that and to be able to see, you know, the thing I love about the scripture is what I'm receiving from it may be totally different from what you receive. And so I would love to be able to hear different viewpoints, okay? So Ephesians 2, 1 through 10. So we're going to start, and we're going to go through verse 1 through 3, and we're going to stop, and then we'll chat about it for a minute, okay? I'll go ahead and read it. It may be a different translation that you have. I apologize for that. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world, and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. All right, what do you hear in that? Hopelessness? Slavery, good. Fear, expand on fear for me. What does that mean for you? Okay. Anything else? Spiritual warfare. Tell me more. Mm-hmm. So we've got this going on. Okay. Anyone else?
We all started out that way, on the same level as everyone else, all sinners.
Yes. We're all on the same page, right? That's a beautiful example. So yes, we are dead in our sin. We deserve wrath. And most of us have been captivated by the world. It was feeding us, right? And it was feeding the desires of our flesh. And we simply deserve the wrath. We deserve death. Very good. Okay, so that's really where we are. We're all on the same level. We all have, at some point, have chosen the world. Some of you may still be walking in that life. You've not made a decision to really give your life completely over to Christ. You are still feeding on the things of the world. And I would encourage you, as you've been able to be a part of this weekend, as you've been able to really observe how people are, how their walk with the Lord is, and for you, if you desire that, if you need better understanding, to make sure that you get with somebody and to have some conversation to bring light to what you need to do to take those steps for that to happen. But you're right, we're all there, okay? So then in verse 4, it says, but... Okay, so we have some really, really, really good news for everybody tonight. So, verse 4, it says, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. Okay, so, wait, we're all on the same level, right? We're dead in our sins. And what did God do? Huh? I can't hear. Did you say something over there? No? Okay. Anyone? He made us alive in Christ. Yes. Okay. So he made us alive in Christ. It is by grace you have been saved, and God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, so get over yourselves. It's nothing that you've done. It's completely God pursuing you and giving you the opportunity to have faith in him. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. We don't have the privilege of boasting that it's anything that we've done. It's completely from him. And I think that continues to put us on that same page. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. So anything that you picked out, that what has God done for you? He loves us. How has he shown his love to you? He sent his son to die for us. And I didn't hear what you said after that. Yes. To pay the price? Yes. Something was funny over there. I don't know. I can't hear. Okay, someone else. What has God done for you? What do you see in those scriptures? Ah, yes. We are masterpieces. That's cool. I like that. Anyone else? He forgives us. Guys, this age that you live in, I'm going to be an emotional mama here for a moment. I hate what my kids are being faced with. I hate it. I hate technology, honestly. I fear so many things in regards to what my kids are going to come in contact with. Some of it, as Ben said, some of it's by choice, some of it's not by choice. And you know what? Some of you have experienced some things, have chosen some things, and you're having a hard time forgiving yourself. But you need to know that Christ forgives you. He has already forgotten it when we've come to him and we've asked for that. And that so often can be such a hang-up for us that we can't forgive ourselves. But he has. He has forgiven us for all of it. And I tell you, the other piece that I am just seeing, I see my sin so much more clearly now too. I have to face that daily for myself. I mean, there's still so much crud in my life because I'm fallen with sin. But yet the Lord sees me as righteous. I love the I'm a visual person, and I love the illustration of the umbrella, which is Jesus' blood over me. So I'm under the umbrella. God is above, and all he can see is Jesus' blood. And that's how I'm seen as righteous. And even in the midst of my sin, and I have to go to that place of repenting and confession and making myself continually right with God. But for me, that is such hope for me, knowing that he forgives me. So I would just encourage you that you would continue seeking out, even as you guys are walking out life as college students, it's a tough world out there, guys. And now that you have that many more freedoms, that you're not necessarily under your parents' supervision 24/7, like my children still are, it can be even that much more challenging in the decisions that you're facing and the choices that you're making. But rest in the fact that God is there to forgive you. So thank you for sharing that. Anybody else? And what does that hope and future look like for you? Yeah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, in that, I see that he's loved us, and we all are seeking love, right? But he is there to just, one of the verses says, lavish his love, and I love that word. I use it all the time because it just makes me feel like I have bubbles all around me, or you know, like this warm blanket, or I don't know, like whatever I'm feeling in the moment. Like God just, he just lavishes on us, and it's just continual. So in that, I see that he's loved us. He is rich in his mercy to us. He has made us alive. He's given us grace. He has raised us up. And I think with the raised us up, so often we look at our time of what we would maybe call a conversion, of the time that we have a full understanding that we need Jesus in our life, and that's the moment, an aha moment for us. But God has raised us up for us to keep moving forward, and that's where it's a daily thing for us to be able to be on our knees and really seeking him out, to be able to follow him. He's shown us kindness. He's given us the gift of God for salvation, and we are created in him. That's where the masterpiece comes in. And then at the very last one, it says, which God prepared in advance for us to do. He's such a gentleman in ways that is just incredible to see, but I really feel in that he is giving us longings to fulfill his plans. And so he wants us to partner with him. He wants us to be able to be a part of what he's doing in and amongst his people. And that's a huge honor. All right, so we're going to move over to Colossians 1, 3 through 14. We're going to go to the last couple verses, and then we're going to back up. So if you can find Colossians 1, 3 through 14, and we're going to actually start in verse 12. And I just want to go through a couple more things of who God is, what God has done. And then I want to take a look at something else. But in verse 12, it says, and giving joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his people in the kingdom of life. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. What do you see in that as to what God has done for us?
Redemption.
Yes. What does that mean for you? You got to talk. No, that's okay. Yes. Okay. Someone else? Qualified to?
Qualified to share.
To share? Tell me more. That's powerful. Thank you. How many of you have tried to qualify for something? Whether it be track. I'm going to tell a little story here. My daughter went to try out for track this year, and she didn't make it. And she came home, and I was like, yes, you did. She's like, no, Mom, I didn't make it. I'm like, who doesn't make track? I mean, like, I didn't know that they cut off people with track. I felt so awful. She didn't qualify. And she's a really fast runner, but apparently she walked like on the mile or whatever. I don't know what happened exactly, but in my opinion, God had a different plan for her in all of it. But I was like, oh, I'm sorry you didn't make track, honey. I'm like, so anyways, we've all probably tried to qualify or try out for something, and you feel like a failure so often when that doesn't come forth. But here you're saying he has qualified us, and that's so incredible, because it doesn't matter where we've been, what we've done, who we are. He sees us worthy enough to be qualified to be in his kingdom and to be able to further his kingdom. Thank you. Anyone else?
Like with him, and they're all fulfilled, and like with the woman at the well when she was going for water that wasn't going to satisfy her, and he told her to drink of living water, which is like himself and his spirit, and she can have that and like be truly fulfilled and satisfied and at peace.
Yes, and how critical is that in this day and age, especially? And using the woman at the well. The well doesn't run dry. It's always there for us to be able to receive from. Thank you. Deliverance? Okay, what does that mean for you? Okay, I can't, I'm sorry, I didn't hear all of that. I think I need my hearing checked, people. I can't. Thank you, I did hear that. He's delivered us from the dominion of darkness. We have wars at my house as to whether the light's gonna be on or the light's gonna be off at night. I'm afraid of the dark. Well, I don't want the light on. Well, you know, because our kids, they all share rooms for the most part, and so one wants it, one doesn't. But you know what? That's a real fear for my little girl, that she wants to be able to see some light. Darkness can be a very scary place, and he has delivered us from that. And we're going to talk in a moment about the light that he brings forth out of the darkness. But for him to be able to deliver us from darkness. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah.
Process of transaction.
Okay.
My version says it was thinking. My version says that he has purchased our freedom with his blood, so it's already been done. It's the first big thing. And we've been purchased by him from the world, in a sense.
Okay. He has purchased us. Ransom. All right. Anyone else on that? Okay. He has qualified us for his kingdom when we weren't qualified ourselves. Romans 5:8. Yet while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. In the midst of our ugliness, in the midst of all of it, Christ died for us. Colossians 1:12. Through his blood that was shed, we are now qualified. Are we worthy of being qualified? We don't feel worthy of being qualified, but God proclaims that to us. So that is what God has done for us. He has rescued us. I heard somebody say that, from our own sinfulness and our own wrath and death that we really deserve. In verse 14, he has redeemed us. That freedom has been at a price, though, in what somebody mentioned earlier about Jesus going to the cross for us. Mark 9:45, Jesus gave himself as a ransom. And then the forgiven is another piece that's in here as well. Colossians 2:14, he has nailed everything to the cross. Guys, he's got it. He has it, and he wants to just bring that freedom to you. Okay, so let's go to the very first part of that chapter. And so who is God? What has he done? Well, he's qualified us, he's redeemed us, he's rescued us, he's forgiven us. He has shown his love to us, he's shown his kindness to us, he's given us the gift of salvation. That is something to celebrate. And so I don't know what of his character and what he has done applies to you and where you are in your heart and in your life tonight, but I would ask that you would claim at least one of those that you can celebrate tonight. You can hold on to that to say, this is who my God is. Because I think at different times we're at different places. Sometimes we need a little bit more rescue, or maybe we need a little bit more forgiveness. So what does that look like for you tonight? So in Colossians, this is Paul coming to these people, and he actually came in behind another gentleman that came and preached the gospel to these people. And they really had a good understanding, and they became followers of Christ, but they were starting to slack off a little bit, okay? So Paul comes, and he's here to encourage them. But I think this is a really good example of what it would be like for us to walk as a follower of Christ. And so I want to just look at that for a moment with you. And then I want to talk about not only has he given us all of these things, but what has God done for us and who are we? We are indwelt with the Holy Spirit. So, and then we also are his light. So I want to go through those two things. But let's go to the Colossians. We're going to just start it at verse 3. I don't know if y'all can see where you're at? If not, okay. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus. So here's our encouragement. And of the love you have for all his people, the faith and love that spring from the hope stored up for you in heaven and about which you have already heard in the true word of the gospel that has come to you. In the same way, the gospel is bearing fruit and growing throughout the whole world, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and truly understood God's grace. You learned it from, I never know how to pronounce these names. Someone help me. Huh? Epaphras? I wouldn't have done that. Okay. Our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on our behalf, and who has also told us of your love in the Spirit. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience. And then it goes into, and giving thanks, because this is why we are the way that we are. It's because of what God has done. So in that, I just want to point out a couple things. What does a follower of Christ look like? In verse 3, we have to have the faith. And this is like, Lord, this is a huge prayer. Let me be used of you to be able to say that this is how I can be used of you. So may this be an encouragement to you. I'm not sure where you, once again, where you are. But so verse 4, having faith in Christ. Another verse, in verse 4, another piece is the love you have for all the people. This world has gotten a little self-centered. Okay, the whole technology thing, Snapchat is not my favorite thing. Excuse me. I'm like, guys, I've never taken that many pictures of myself in my whole life. What you've taken in a day. But I feel like, and I'm sorry, I'm dissing on technology so much, but it's taking us to this different place in life. But our self-centeredness has become an epidemic, in my opinion, where we are so focused on what's happening in our own lives that we've almost blinded ourselves to those around us. And what God is asking us is to love, to have love for all the people. In order to have love for all the people, you have to see them there. In order to have love for all the people, you have to sit and listen. In order to have love for all the people, you have to be vulnerable. In order to have love for all the people, you have to be available. Where are you at? Who are you looking at to say, God, you're asking me to love these people? Who are your people? What is your community? Who around you is God asking you to be a light to? That's an example of being able to be a follower of Christ and looking to who God has for you to be able to be a light to and truly having a love for them. Verse 5, the hope. The hope, once again, as I said earlier, it's not an attitude of hope. It's hope. The hope is in Christ. The hope is Christ. Number 6, the gospel. Okay, somebody for us to be able to have a full understanding that it's the gospel, it's not us that is bearing the fruit and growing. But that's a really good sign of where you are in your walk with Jesus. Is there fruit bearing? Do you see others being drawn to you in the ways that you are living out your life? Are you helping others to be able to grow in their walk with Christ? So this would be another evidence of being able to show of being a follower of Christ. Verse 9, having a community. Now, our community looks a lot different than most communities anymore. Our community is a smaller community, but I tell you, there's so much opportunity with where we're at. But wherever you are, whatever church you're in, whatever coffee shop you work in, whatever dorm you're in, whatever apartment you're at, wherever you are, whatever family you're in your community, allowing yourself to be able to be a light in that, but also surrounding yourself with people that can really lift you up and encourage you in the walk that you're on. Because we can say yes to God, and then I think Tristan gave a really good example. Then the rubber meets the road, right? And then we're like, okay, how do I really do this? How do I live this out? Well, having community around you and supporting you is going to be a very helpful way. And when they talk about that in verse 9, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with. So here we have people that are around each other to build each other up, and that's something that we need on a day-to-day basis. And then verse 10, we need to seek a continued filling of the Spirit. Now, I don't know, growing up, what you have an understanding of the Spirit, but I want to give you an example. For those of you who've maybe been in New Orleans before, they have shotgun houses. Is anyone familiar with that? That's what they call them, okay? So a shotgun house, am I saying that right, Brad? Yes? Okay. So a shotgun house is a very narrow house. So it would be like this walkway right in between, okay? The front door's here, and there's a back door there. And every room is connected, and there's like a little door to connect them. So the goal in that, I think they call it a shotgun house because if you shot a shotgun, it'd go straight through the house because you go straight through. So, but the goal in that is, as Brad expressed, it gets very, very hot where we live. And so it allows the breeze to go through, okay? Well, the example I want to give tonight is how the Spirit is able to move. When we ask Christ into our life, we are filled with the Spirit. That's what God says. In fact, Jesus said, I need to leave this earth so the Spirit can then come and be in you and be amongst you. And so it was a very important thing for Christ to go ahead to ascend so the Holy Spirit could come. And so in that, we have a filling of the Holy Spirit when we have said, hey, God, I need you. I acknowledge you to be my Savior and Lord. I know I can't do this on my own. I give my life to you, and God fills us with the Spirit. But then there's this thing of the indwelling, okay? And that's where the shotgun house example comes in. So we have our body, we have our spirit, we have our soul. That's how we are made up. And in that, the Spirit wants to be a part of all of that. He wants to be that breeze going in and out fluidly. But what we end up doing often is we maybe shut a door. And when we shut a door, we suddenly are living for ourselves. We're living for the flesh, and we're not allowing the Spirit to flow through us. But God has called us to be able to be indwelt, to be able to be filled, to be able to then be used. And the Holy Spirit is that prompting that Tristan mentioned, right? Being able to speak to us, to be able to really help lead us and guide us. He's our counselor. He's our advocate. He is so much for us to be able to close a door is very detrimental to what God is wanting to do in our lives. So what I would encourage us, what has God done for us? He has given us the Spirit to be able to live in the fullness of Him. But it's really important that we allow those doors to stay open and that we don't close a door to keep, to hinder anything that He would want to be speaking to us, a way that He would want to be moving in us, and a way that He would want to be using us. Okay? And then the other thing is the light. Who are we? We are light bearers. And as I mentioned before, darkness can be a very dark place. And 2 Corinthians 5:16, it says, "What we preach is not of ourselves. Satan has blinded those who don't believe and can't see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ. For light was made to shine for us to see. Now he shines his light through us." And so we, as a vessel of God, get to bring this light. And that light is the Holy Spirit. So Brad mentioned Jerry last night. It is the strangest thing. Like, we couldn't make it up. It's just been, like, such a God thing. And it's just been a cool opportunity. But we were out dinner one night, and he wanted to talk to us, and he said, I'm going to have kind of control of this conversation. We're like, okay, what does that mean? And he preferred for us not to have any religion in our conversation. So, see, Brad talked about how he's really just seeking out. So we wanted to respect him, so we said, okay. And so we get into this conversation, and then towards the end he said, "There's something different about you." And we're like, you know, we obviously have a full understanding that it is Christ in us. It's nothing of our own. And he's comparing, and he's thinking about all these people that he's met, and he just hasn't met somebody like us before, and he just can't get his mind wrapped around what it is. And then he goes, "You." And he looks at me and he goes, "You have it." I'm like, what do I have? I have the Holy Spirit. What do I have, Jerry? And he goes, "It's the attitude." And I was like, I don't like, I wouldn't normally categorize myself as having the attitude. And he goes, "No, it's the attitude." And he was saying it in a positive light. And I was like, he sees it. He's going to a place of really submission to even recognize that he sees the Holy Spirit in me, whether he wants to call it the attitude or if he wants to call it the Holy Spirit. But he sees that light shining through. And I'm so encouraged and humbled to be the example that God wants to use to be able to take him to a place that he might fully receive that light. But we have a light to shine forth. And once again, I'm a visual person. And for me, one little spark of light can fill darkness. Darkness cannot hide the light. So we have been given that opportunity. Who are we in light of what he has done? We are his light bearers. And you guys are in some dark places, not necessarily by choice, but in our culture, in our world, there are some very dark places. And you have the opportunity to be a light. And when people are in darkness, they are drawn to the light. Do not let the darkness rule over you. Let your light shine for Christ in the place that you are. That is what he's calling you to. That is what he's giving you an opportunity for. In closing, this just wraps up really a lot of what we've been sharing and talking about. It's Titus 3, 3 through 8, and I'll read it to you. At one time, we too were foolish. We were disobedient. We deceived and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. But when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that, having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. This is a trustworthy saying. And I want to stress these things so that those who have trusted in God may be careful to devote themselves, I lost my place, to doing what is good. These things are excellent and profitable for everyone. It is through Christ that we have redemption, rescue, forgiveness, love. It is nothing of our own. We are nothing in ourselves. But I have some incredible good news of the gospel for you tonight. We are everything with him. Everything. My prayer is that you would take hold and have a full understanding of what the good news is. And as I said, I'm still trying to wrap my mind around it. Someone who would be willing to do that for me and the depth of his love for me is a place of discovery for me still. But my prayer would be that you would find that place and understanding, and you would make that decision to carry out the gospel in your own life first. As Brad said, it has to change you before you can share it to be able to change others. The gospel is very clear. God is everything, and we are nothing. But yet we are everything with him. Let's pray. Oh Lord, we just rejoice tonight in the good news, the gospel. We just thank you for the opportunity to be able to have faith, the opportunity to be able to say, yes, there was nothing good in me. I deserve death, but you have chosen a different route for me. And Lord, we praise you for that. We thank you for the opportunity that we have to be able to be your light bearers. We thank you for and are honored to have the Holy Spirit dwelling in us to be able to lead and guide and comfort and be our advocate. Lord God, continue to help us to be able to submit to you on each and every day. Help us to be able to speak the gospel into our own life every day. We need it every day. We need to have an understanding. And Lord, may you work mightily in the way that you choose in each of our lives. In your name we pray. Amen.